Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Hello, I'm Claire Venice.
And I'm Geoff Lacey.
It's the second week of Lockdown 2.
But that still won't stop us from bringing you...
The Peapod.
In this week's Peapod, I speak to Gary Boxall from Petersfield Photographic. This local small business on Lavant Street has been in the town for 30 years, and Gary tells me more about it.
I have my weekly chat with John Walker from the Petersfield Post to find out what's going on in the Petersphere this week.
Susie Wild continues her wild walks, this week joined in a physically distanced way by actor and poet Abigail McKern.
And we'll also bring you music from Marley Blandford with Lift Me Up. Now there's a good song title. As we continue our second set of Peapods brought to you in lockdown.
If you love Petersfield...
I love the square.
It's a lovely, lovely town.
The hangers.
Everyone's welcome.
Then the Peapod loves you.
It's just a nice town.
Everything Petersfield is in the Peapod with Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey.
Hello, Claire. How are you?
Hi, Geoff. I'm not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Well, we're recording this Monday and it's turned into a bit of a stressful day, if I may be so bold. COVID has hit the household in the sense we've my youngest, Theo, has to self-isolate for 14 days. So, yes.
Oh, Geoff, when did you hear about that?
I actually had the principal of the school ring me up personally because we're on speaking terms like that. No. and no, he rang to say, was I happy for Theo to walk home? And I said, yes. But right. That leads me on to my next point. He then said, now this is Mr. Morand, he said, congratulations on your 50th Peapod and winning the award at the Petersfield festivities.
Oh, wow. That was really nice of him. That's
said,
very kind.
It was very kind of him. And it was nice that he'd recognised my name so that and that I'd done the we'd done the Peapod there. So, yes.
but he didn't ask you for a signed photo or anything, then, Geoff.
Well, I did offer it. I said, I'll carry on. No, well, no, let's go back on to Theo, I said. but let's make it all about me. I've only rung up to tell you about your son. And that's when I told everyone at home, they said, you've turned around onto yourself again. I said, yes, I know.
As if they're expecting anything different, right?
So, but
I mean, that's quite a phone call you had then. So you heard that your son has got to self-isolate.
Yes.
And obviously, we know about the Arts and Entertainment Award, which we'll get onto in a little bit. And also about our 50th Peapod at the studio. What a fantastic phone call that was.
Yeah. But he did say it was a bit disappointing that we'd beaten the studio at TPS in our category. I said, well, yeah, I know, but... someone had to win it.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to note that, isn't it? We were in a category for the Arts and Entertainment Award at the Petersfield Awards, which were announced on Friday night. And we were alongside the studio at TPS and SOS from the kids. And both of those we have had on the Peapod. So it almost seems like sort of extended family, really.
Yes.
It was really thrilling to learn that we'd won the award because we've only been around for just over a year, and there was a lot of hard work by a lot of the volunteers that's been put into the Petersfield Community Radios, you know, since that year, and particularly this year with the morning reports in lockdown and then launching the digital stream. So, you know, it's really lovely to be recognised. So thank you for everyone who voted for us. And commiserations to the studio and SOS from the kids.
Very much so. But it was disappointing to see that the Petersfield Panto didn't win Live Event of the Year for the second year running, which we've not won it yet, which is... but there we go. There we go.
Oh, that's a shame. And we can't, because it was fun last year.
It was, and we can't do one this year because of... the current situation. So, yeah, the next Panto is not going to be until 2022, sadly.
Oh, we'll make it a good one.
So, yes, has COVID affected you at all, Claire? I know Nina self-isolated a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I was saying not recently, but before half term, my middle daughter, Nina, who's 14, was in a group of students that had to self-isolate for 2 weeks. And oh, it's hard. It's a long time. Mm. I'm sort of, we've got five weeks left until the Christmas holidays. And it's almost, I do feel my anxiety levels kind of increasing on a daily basis, actually. Almost expecting the phone to ring. Almost every day, because there are cases increasing in the area and in the schools. Both schools that my three children are in have had cases in the last week or so. So I kind of feel almost it's just a matter of time. I don't like that feeling.
No, I think at some stage we are all going to end up having to self-isolate. I think it's inevitable.
Do you know what's interesting, though? My husband, Mark, he has been working from home, and he goes into the office once a week to catch up on stuff that he needs to do from the office that he can't do from home.
Yeah.
And today he was in the office, and the office is in the middle of nowhere up at Lasham Airfield. And he went in today, and it's just him on his own in the little room that we have as the office. And there were people there today, a film crew, because they'd sometimes film various bits and bobs there, and they were setting up a set. And he had to have a COVID test. And his COVID test took 5 minutes to get the results from.
Wow.
Just 5 minutes.
Is that what they're doing in Liverpool?
Well, yes, possibly. I don't know enough about it, really. But I was quite surprised that, you know, they've obviously have these tests for this film set. And they will be using them, I guess, you know, frequently. But interesting that they have them. Mm. And such a quick turnaround. Why they're not more widely available, you know, I don't know.
So do you think the increased numbers of positive cases are because more people can be tested?
I don't know. I do think, well, I don't know. That's interesting, because the numbers seem to be going up here, but we just don't know what the numbers were, do we, in March, that accurately?
No, no.
But anyway, I feel sorry for Theo. I hope he's okay over the next couple of weeks.
What's your view on masks and when school children should be wearing them?
Well, my understanding is that there's...
Is it just in school?
They're supposed to wear them. Yeah, they're supposed to wear them in school, like they're going into school and walking around school. But in classrooms, they don't have to wear them if they don't want to.
No, because Theo was walking past Tesco's on his way home, and he was with a friend. And this elderly person had a go at him to a certain extent, saying, "Why aren't you wearing your mask?" And he said, "Well, I don't have to." Now, that person had walked past another group of school children, hadn't approached them, but because it was just Theo and his friend, they felt that they could say something, and actually took Theo by surprise, because he's been following the guidelines. He doesn't have to wear his mask. And then for a member of the public to come up and have a word, do you think the guidelines are not that clear? Or people misinterpret them?
I don't think any of it's really hugely clear, but I do think that most people know you don't need to wear masks outside and to stay socially distant. So maybe she was feeling scared and concerned that there were so many students around. I mean, possibly not the best time to go shopping, maybe, if you know, the school children are all coming out, because there's quite a lot of them when they do.
Tell me about it. So, Claire, now, a few weeks ago, I did raise on the Peapod that... I was having to reapply for my job.
Yes, that's right. I remember.
And I actually found out last week, back end of last week, that I've kept my job, which is a relief.
Oh, that's great news, Josh.
So, I know a number of people have asked me how it's gone on. And it has been 6 weeks from finding out that I had to reapply to actually getting a result. So, relief in the Lacey household.
Yeah, that's really good news.
Okay.
Oh, congratulations. That's really...
Thank you, Claire.
Great to hear some good news, you know, along with winning the awards, you know, the Arts and Entertainment Award, and, you know, learning about you keeping your job. That's absolutely brilliant, Geoff. Well done.
Thank you, Claire. Now, coming up, John Walker will let you know what's new in the local news, and Claire has a chat with Gary Boxall from Petersfield Photographic.
Before that, we'd like to remind you that throughout November, Shine Radio is supporting local businesses with the Shop Local campaign. Even though many of our local shops cannot currently open, they are offering online services. So let's all do our best to help them through this difficult time.
Support our independent local businesses throughout the lockdown with Petersfield's Shine Radio.
After our catch-up last week, we're back to talking on the phone. Let's hear what John Walker has in store for us in the Petersfield Post this week. Hello, John. How are you? Did you have a good birthday?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Yeah, I had a lovely roast dinner and a couple of bottles of wine of the bubbly sort. And yes, had a very good evening, thank you.
So it was a nice lockdown birthday then?
Well, I mean, it was as good as you can get without being able to go out anywhere or do anything, but it was fantastic, yes.
Yeah, it was my son's 18th on over the weekend, and he wasn't able to celebrate it that much, which is a bit of a shame.
Oh, he couldn't celebrate it that much.
We did have a bit at home, bit of fun at home, but, you know, it's hard.
Oh, yes, it's hard, and I'm loving this lockdown working. Not one bit.
Oh, dear, mate. So what is in the Petersfield Post this week?
Well, we've got the reception classes who started in September. Finally got their pictures in the paper.
Nice.
All the local schools, yeah. If only those children knew what they were getting themselves into. Or more than what their parents knew were coming. And they all look so cute at the moment, but in a few years' time, when it's where's your homework, I'm sure it'll be a different kettle of fish. Yeah, so there's that. There is also a couple of pages of pictures on the Remembrance Sunday event in Petersfield, plus other ones at Sheet and Berriton and villages like that. You were there at the Remembrance Sunday event in Petersfield, and it was quite a moving half hour, I think.
I agree with you entirely, yes.
Yeah. And then there's the Network Rail wanted to widen the railway crossing at Petersfield and in the process demolished the Grade 2 listed signal box there.
Mm.
But the council planners have come out in very, very strong terms and said, you can't do that.
Well, that's great to hear.
The building has to be saved. It is a heritage asset and so on and so forth. There is a slight get-out-of-jail-free card for Network Rail there. If they can't work out a way of widening the track without demolishing the building, then it looks as though they may be able to go ahead and do so, because it's a vital infrastructure plan.
Right.
So, did I detect a note of something in your voice there?
You certainly did.
Yeah. But no, the council are very, very firmly against it. They can't. They won't be budged on that. And I think it's up to Network Rail to come back with a plan to save the building, or some very, very hard-hitting and heavy reasons why they should be allowed to demolish it. And as much as I sometimes wonder about the councillors' planners, I seem to think this time they've really stepped up to the mark and said no. Which will please people who are railway enthusiasts.
I think so. And has there been any follow-up to the spa story?
The spa story? Which spa was that?
The spa, yeah. The car spa.
Oh, the car spa. No. And no yet again. The council put their point of view. The person who was anti it put their point of view. I think there might be a couple of letters in the paper. But I suspect it's one of those things that was going to be a spat for a few minutes. And this time next year, it won't be a problem. And of course, the big news, unpleasant news this week is that two men who attacked somebody down in Durford Road in May have been found guilty of attempted murder.
Oh, yeah, I remember us covering that story.
Yeah, Sean Hanson, 50, of Fern Close, and Anthony John Seymour of Rivermore Road are due to appear back in Winchester Crown Court after being found guilty of the offence by a jury. They will be appearing back in Winchester Crown Court on Tuesday, the 22nd of December. They both live just yards away from the victim's house, and I think everybody knows or has read about what actually happened, but the poor bloke who they attacked ended up with multiple stab wounds and spent a bit of time in hospital. But there we go. As somebody said on Facebook, I can't believe that happened in Petersfield.
Well, well, we do wonder where the town's going, don't we?
Don't start me. Don't start me, Joe.
No.
I'm afraid to hell in a handcart comes to mind.
Well, John, it's been lovely speaking to you, mate. Keep working hard. You're doing a cracking job. And
thank you.
We'll speak soon.
Ta-da.
See you later, mate. Thanks, John. And the Peaceful Post is out every Wednesday and costs 75 pence. So please get one with your weekly shop or subscribe to the digital version. A bargain.
Susie is joined by local actor and poet Abigail McKern for her wild walk this week. They go for a circular walk around Durford Mill on a sublime autumn day. But why does Abigail sing to the deer?
Well, I'm doing a wild walk, and as promised, I'm going to be doing with Abigail McKern. It's so exciting. She's looking very excited as well. It will be slightly more problematic than usual because of the COVID restrictions. We'll be staying apart. So I think what I'll do is stop at stages along the walk and pass my phone to Abigail, who can then speak into it. So you'll hear her rather than just us crowd round the same microphone. So as you can hear, there are cars going past. We've met in the little lay-by, well, it's road really, opposite Durley Marsh Farm. And I've just been listening to a podcast, backlisted podcast, one of my favourites, about a collection of poetry that won last year the T.S. Eliot Prize. So that was in November 2019. But they're absolutely wonderful. And they're dealing with like the Greek myths and where Zeus is presented as a rapist. And some of them are really disturbing. But the one I've just listened to is very much to do with a child hiding and likening it to Nazi Germany. That sounds crass, but it's a brilliant poem. And I'm mentioning it, of course, because Abigail walks with poetry, but we'll have more of that later. So I don't know if you hear a dog barking, but we've just passed the most wonderful place. We've stopped in divine sunshine and no planes again and excitement, and we're at the back of the old abbey where there's the sort of fish pond, and I'm going to pass over to Abigail to just say what she thinks of it.
Yes, well, listen, I'm in heaven here. I've never done this walk, so you're showing me lovely new walks. We can hopefully maybe swap some walks. I hope I can show you one you don't know. You probably not, but this is absolutely beautiful. It's kind of slightly misty, sunny, misty, absolutely stunning views all the way around, and this beautiful, beautiful house, which looks like something out of Jane Austen, and then this lovely pond in front of it, which Susie's just said was the original fish pond, which they often, monasteries always had to have fish ponds, didn't they, so that they had some food on hand. But this is utterly, utterly beautiful. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you, Susie.
Excellent. So more later. So as you can probably hear, we're now back at the cars. It's just been the most wonderful walk. Abigail and I are very similar vintage. So when I mention things like Morris Oxford cars, she nods. I haven't got a child with me. He goes, what's one of those? But anyway, I want her to tell you something she told me at the Deer Park. So I'm handing back to her.
Oh, so just got back. What a wonderful walk that was. It's just beginning to, the light's beginning to fade. So we've come back round at exactly the right time. Yeah, we walked through this deer farm, absolutely beautiful, hundreds and hundreds of stags and deers. They were all lying down in the grass, actually, looking very beautiful. I took loads of photographs, but yeah, it reminded me that very recently, a couple of months ago, during lockdown, I was doing one of my solitary, huge, long walks, but just me and my camera. I passed this deer farm and there was nobody around. So I just sort of crept over to the and stuck my head over the hedge. And I started singing because I'd seen all these YouTube videos where all these musicians set up a little chair in the middle of a field of cows and they start playing the trumpet or the violin or the guitar. And I wanted, and all the animals always come over because they're so curious. And I wanted to see if it would work. So I started singing Row Bonnie Boat. Quite loudly, and one by one, it was fantastic. All the deer started looking up, looking rather confused, looking quite interested, and then one by one they started walking slowly over. And I didn't stop over and over again. I could only remember one chorus of the song, Row Bonnie Boat Like a Bird on the Wing Over the Sea to Sky. I ended up with about 50 deer right in my face looking at me. And it was absolutely joyous. It was kind of slightly like a spiritual experience, actually. And maybe I was going a little bit barking during lockdown, but it was a lovely, lovely experience.
It's been an absolute pleasure to walk with you, Abigail. Thank you so much. And I hope we do it again.
Yes.
And we'll go across the road and do Durford Wood, which is one of my favourites.
Brilliant. Susie will continue her wild walks throughout this second lockdown. And more information about Abigail McKern's Walking with Poetry can be found on our website.
The P stands for Petersfield.
It's like the best town ever.
The Peapod.
Based in Levant Street, Petersfield Photographic provides a wide range of photographic services, including photo printing, passport photos, and a large selection of photographic accessories, including frames and albums.
The shop also sells cameras and offers a full range of photographic processing services, from traditional processing through to the latest digital prints. Owner Gary Boxall has just celebrated 30 years of running the shop in Petersfield. Claire caught up with him earlier to hear more.
Hi, Gary. Thanks so much for talking to me. How are you?
Well, hello, Claire. Very well, thank you.
And how's business now we're in the second lockdown?
There isn't any. I'm doing a little bit of what was termed as click and collect, working behind the scenes, doing some videos to DVDs for people and a few little online orders that spring up now and again. And then people just collect them from the front door, and that's it, really.
And is that different to what you did for the first lockdown? Were you closed completely then?
Yes, the term click and collect wasn't available for people like ourselves to use. So it was completely, naturally shut down altogether. So we weren't able to help people out, or would have got into a little bit of trouble.
Well, it's lovely to be able to talk to you. I know we were planning to actually come to Petersfield Photographic and you were going to host this edition of the Peapod, but obviously lockdown stopped that.
Yes.
But it's still great to be able to talk to you. Can you tell us a bit more about Petersfield Photographic and how you've been, you know, in business for 30 years?
Yeah, soon goes, doesn't it? I suppose I'll best to start off in the beginning, isn't it, really? just over now, 30 years ago, we decided to have a change of direction and I had the opportunity to purchase a little shop along London House, Chapel Street, which used to belong to our dear friend Iris Holt, who ran Bootleggers at the time. She was retiring, so very nice little handy shop to start off with. Actually, during that particular time, it was during the recession, I believe. Of course, the one of many that we've had. But a lot of people used to say, oh, you know, opening a new business during the recession, oh, I don't know. But anyway, the proof is in the pudding. So we just ticked along and went from there, really. I had a little refurb, which helped to improve the storage and the display issue of it. And then we were brave enough to buy our first mini lab. That was, yes, that was about 1998. And, of course, it took up most of the floor space. So we could only get two people in at the time. Upstairs I would have a little storeroom and also a huge dark room. So before the digital age really hit off, I used to copy people's photographs, take pictures of them with a film camera, then develop them and print them up on my enlarger up in the dark room. So that normally took me into the early realms of the following day. I'm normally was there till 12 o'clock at night. I would probably be stopped by the police, asking what I was doing, rattling at my door, checking that it was closed.
You must have seen some changes then. I mean, photographs and the way people take photographs, that's changed just incredibly, hasn't it, really?
It has. I mean, I started off in the photographic retail business back in 1976. And even back then, in 1976, the Kodak rep would come round, and I remember him telling us once, sometime in the future, there won't be film. Pictures will be stored electronically. Well, he couldn't actually tell us how or why or whatever like that. But Kodak did produce a prototype digital camera, which was the size of a typewriter and had 2 pixels as its as an image quality, which is laughable these days, of course.
Wow.
but yes, of course, we've gone from once upon a time we used to sell a lot of video cameras, and people would say to me, oh, I won't be taking any pictures now. I've got my video camera. That didn't last long. So we've gone from 35mm, we've gone from the disc cameras, Instamatics, now, of course, into digital cameras. But, of course, now, from there, it's gone to mobile phones. And that's really where 90% of people tend to take their images, is on their phones.
Yes, and I suppose, you can get incredible quality, can't you, from some mobile phones, cameras. That's obviously you've had to adapt the shop for how you print photos as well then.
Yes, I mean, when the digital printing came into effect, i.e. when we started to use these, the kiosks as we call them, they were constantly updated. Of course, you can't, if you want to carry on in this world, you can't have your head buried in the sand like some of my fellow colleagues did in the trade, and packed up, quite frankly. They couldn't be bothered with digital, the idea of digital processing, phones and things. But you have to adapt. You change your equipment. You invest in and invest constantly. Even when we've been shut down, I've invested quite a few pennies in new equipment to update the systems, which I'm very pleased with. So, yes, pictures from mobile phones. If people remember to clean the little tiny lens on the front, some cracking pictures have been spoilt by just a little fingerprint, because the lens is so small and out of the way, your eyesight, unlike a normal conventional camera, it's easy to get it a bit dirty. So if anyone's listening, bear that in mind. Just constantly check the little lens on the front of your phone to make sure it's nice and clean.
Ah, that's a handy tip. But,
yes, there have been some... it's a shame. I've seen quite a few pictures that have been smeared by just a little bit of dirt and fingerprints. Yes, phones these days do take superb pictures.
Now, I think I'm a little old school because a number of years ago, I brought what was called a bridge camera from you.
Yes.
I still like taking photos on what's, I guess, an SLR, but it also has the ability to sort of do an automatic photo as well. And I still love printing photos. As you know, I come to your shop
yes.
occasionally
yes,
and print out a whole load. I love photo albums. I'm probably a bit of a rare breed with that now, I suppose. But what do you use to take photographs on?
I've gone through them all, as you can possibly imagine. And I have quite a collection here of, as you say, hybrid bridges. I use DSLR and also a Panasonic Lumix compact camera. Now, that has a Leica lens. It's the lens really that makes the picture, as I keep telling people, amongst a few other things, but the lens really is the important thing. The camera also has a little eyepiece as well as a screen, because on very bright days, I can't really see the screen. So that's why I prefer to have an eyepiece that you use as a conventional manner, where you'd look through it rather than look at it. And that makes life a lot easier. I don't do so much photography these days, although lady wife does. She uses quite a lot of different cameras, and quite a few of her pictures appear on South Today or Meridian on the weather thingies. So, and she does it as sort of a hobby as well. I don't use my phone though for taking pictures. Although there was one stage where I visit the Isle of Wight quite a bit, and I cycle around, and I went through this wonderful single lane track that was just covered with fields, lovely yellow color. I thought, oh, I'll make a lovely picture. Oh, I forgot my camera. Silly boy. And then I suddenly realized I have my phone in my bag. I thought, no, please. And then when I got the result, I thought, wow, okay, I'll hold my hands up. That's taken a lovely, cracking picture.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, so I had to admit to it in the end.
You had to break down.
But of course, there are reasons why you have different types of cameras. And it, as I say, revolves around the control facilities that you have on things like DSLRs or hybrid bridges or the top-end compact cameras, which allow you to control your depth of field and shutter control. To give you very one example, on your camera, you can turn the shutter speed down to, shall we say, 1/15th of a second. If, let's say, for instance, you're visiting Wales with all those nice waterfalls and things, and you can slow the shutter down, and the water will appear like cotton wool. That's how that effect is achieved, by having a very slow shutter speed. Something you can't, you may be able to do with a phone. I don't know, because they have so many special effects on phones these days, but that's you do have a little bit more control of the exposure with a conventional camera.
Now, with all your knowledge of cameras, when this lockdown, we're through the second lockdown, your shop will be open again. Is there a particular camera you could recommend for, say, a Christmas present that's sort of reasonably priced? Is there a sort of middle of the road camera if someone's thinking about, you know, getting a camera for Christmas or buying a camera for someone for Christmas? Is there something you can recommend?
Once upon a time, I could, Claire. But nowadays, the sale of camera equipment, to be brutally honest, is pretty much zero. We might sell a camera if someone's other camera is broken and they still wish to use a camera. Then that's the only time when we tend to sell them. As you and a lot of other people in Petersfield know, all my windows were filled with cameras, lenses, flash guns, the old slide projector, and so on. All that's gone. And most of it's been, especially with the camera side of things, been taken away from me by the internet. So a lot of camera manufacturers are pulled out of manufacturing compact cameras and the like because of the use of phones. So there's only a very small selection that I keep nowadays, and the ones I keep are for people that still want to continue using a camera. They're about £90. Or one which I have, as I was talking to you earlier about, but the Panasonic. Someone says, look, I can't see the screen. Have you got something I can look through for a lens? Yes, we've got those too. So it's a very, very narrow selection nowadays. a lot of people go for these instant picture cameras. It could be the Fuji Instax or the new Polaroid Now, which has just been introduced on the market. That's a fun thing. Expensive to run, though. Look out. It costs a pound a shot. But it does seem to be the most popular thing, actually, at the moment, is these instant cameras again.
That's really interesting, because I think I was about 10 when I got a Polaroid camera for Christmas or birthday, something like that. And I loved it. And sort of it's the immediacy, isn't it, of taking a picture and having it printed and to hold it there in your hand. And it's interesting that's come back now.
Well, it's like with everything. It does a full circle, doesn't it? Especially with instant picture cameras. Yes, I have one when I was 13. And I still managed, although they've faded, I've managed to bring them back through Photoshop. And I haven't seen them for a long time. And I used to sell instant picture cameras all back in the 70s. Back then, the camera was $19.99. The film was $19.99. But now, of course, the same sort of camera is about £100 or so now. But people do like to have something tangible to hold. And that's been the case for quite a few years, actually. People used to take images on slide film. And yes, you'd have to sit for an hour and go to sleep watching someone's holiday pictures. But with pictures, people can actually like to hold something, as you say, like to look at something at their own speed and pace and flick them over when they're ready. And we're all different. And of course, having pictures, of course, is still a thing to have, and rather than being on your computer or on your phone screen.
So, Gary, this year's been obviously a hard year for everybody. How has the response been from your customers?
Well, I've been bowled over by the comments and encouragement I've had from people that have come in the shop. Over the 30 years, I've had people say to me, "Oh, it's nice to see you here, you know, glad you're open," and all that sort of thing. But only recently never in the last 30 years have I had so much encouragement and so much encouragement from people and they're really concerned, not just for myself, but for other independents like me in town, that they really want us to try and sort of see our way through it and carry on. And that sort of thing it certainly encouraged me. That's why I spent quite a lot of money recently on the new printing equipment, because I know that once we do get out of this this period, that things should start to get back to normal again and be very busy again. So yes, so I'd like to thank people of Petersfield for their encouragement and the very, very kind words and comments that I've had recently.
Well, that's great to hear. Well, Gary, it's been really fascinating talking to you. I could talk to you for a lot longer about everything, photos and cameras. And congratulations on celebrating 30 years of Petersfield Photographic. I look forward to popping back in again in December when you're open.
Always looking forward to seeing you. Thank you again.
Thanks so much, Gary. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks to Gary Boxall from Petersfield Photographic. We wish him and his business all the best when he reopens the shop in December.
Now, Claire, are you a keen photographer?
I don't know about keen, but I do like taking photos. I do like taking photos. And as I mentioned in the interview, I'm kind of one of those people that actually does print the photos and put them in albums. So, I guess I am. How about you, Geoff?
So are you a camera or a mobile phone?
I'm more camera. But the problem is it's bulky. So if I'm going out for a walk or something like that, I usually have my phone with me. So then I'll take a phone photo. But I do have a camera that I like to take pickies from because I think they're better quality. Maybe that's just my phone. I don't know. How about you?
Well, I bought a camera for the family 5 years ago and we've never used it because we just use our phones. And unlike you, we do not print off a great deal. So, we print off less now when they're on our phones than we did when we had cameras and you used to take the films to boots.
Yeah. I think that's it. You kind of got into a thing, didn't you? You had a camera, you had your film, you couldn't see what the photograph was. So the only way to do that was to get them developed. Whereas now you've got that sort of immediacy, haven't you, of seeing the photo, deciding if you like it or not, delete it if you don't, and then look back on your phone. But I guess growing up, we had photo albums that my parents would collect, you know, the photos of and put them in, and especially on holidays. And I just loved looking at them, really. And so I've done the same for us as a family.
Yeah, you used to take it to Boots. You'd have to wait a week for them to be developed. Mm-hmm. And then they'd come back full of stickers because they're too blurry.
Yeah.
And you think, well, that was a waste of time.
You're absolutely right. I think I've actually got some film somewhere in a drawer in the kitchen that I probably need to get, you know, processed. I haven't had it.
I definitely got a film. And that has got to be at least 15 years old. Oh. I don't think what's on it.
Yeah. I dare you to get it. I don't know. Can you still get them?
No.
Can you still get them printed?
I don't know.
That's quite an interesting... I should have asked Gary that.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see. I bet I'm thinner.
Well, I bet we're both a bit younger.
The Peapod Events Guide. What's on in the Petersphere?
While we wait for events to start again, tune in to shineradio.uk for a brighter mix of music. You can also keep up to date with what's happening in the Petersphere with The Morning Report every Monday to Friday, bringing you trusted local information and news.
And don't forget the many audio programmes on Shine Radio too. Starting this week, Talking Books becomes a fortnightly programme where Susie Wilde and Tim O'Kelly of One Tree Books talk about what's coming up, what they are enjoying and past favourites.
You can also choose from other audio shows, including Sport Chat, Generation Green and Growing Together, in addition to Noni Needs Recipe Exchange and Kate Fairweather's Cocktail Hour on Fridays. There's always something to shine about on Shine Radio.
If you're running an event, get it in the guide. Just email pod@thepeapod.uk.
Music time now. We're passionate about supporting local musicians and like to feature new artists and their music, not only on the Peapod, but also on Shine Radio throughout the week.
This week, it's the turn of Portsmouth-based Marley Blandford. At only 22 years of age, Marley has already released an album and an EP, both of which have had airplay on BBC Radio 2, Radio 6, Heart and Capital, to name a few. He's also performed to thousands of people and played on the same stage as Noel Gallagher at the Victorious Festival in 2016. Here he is with a track from his new album, Lift Me Up.
Please lift me up. Oh, I'm waiting for the day that I can say I'm feeling fine, fine, fine. Oh, fine, fine, fine.
was Marley Blandford. His new album, released in August, is called Ephemeral Adventures, and the song we played was Lift Me Up, something I think we can all do with at the moment. I certainly can.
If you're a local musician and would like to submit a song for us to play, contact us at pod@thepeapod.uk.
And here we are at the end of another remotely recorded Peapod. Thank you for listening and joining us on this journey. If you enjoy it, tell your friends.
Thanks also to our guests Gary Boxall, John Walker, Susie Wild with Abigail McKern, and musician Marley Blandford.
And as always, a big thank you to the wonderful volunteer team at Shine Radio. The team is growing and you can join us.
If you'd like to get involved in whatever capacity, we're on Petersfield 555 or email us at pod@thepeapod.uk.
Next week, we meet Shirley Leader, owner of Velvet and Rose, the independent store in town selling women's clothing and accessories.
So, from the two of us this week at Joff's House and mine.
Bye! Bye.
The Peapod is produced by volunteers at Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Hello, this is Hugh Bonneville. And finally, you and I have our own local radio station right here in Petersfield. It's our station, made by the people of Petersfield, and that means we don't just have to listen, we can get involved too. We can influence what Petersfield Shine Radio does, we can help it cover our interests, and we can tell it off in public if it gets something wrong. You make it shine. So join me and support the volunteers by spreading the wonderful news that Petersfield Shine Radio is here.